Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you for your presence. Now, Lord, we yield to you. I yield to you, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Speak through me, Lord, your words. I surrender to you, Lord, and I ask you to hide me behind the cross. We want to exalt Jesus. We want to magnify him. We want to lift him up so that men will be drawn to him, Lord, to you. We thank you for this morning, Lord. Order my steps in your word. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If my grandmother were alive, she would say, "Are you no glad you're here?" She was from Scotland. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to start this morning Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You'll just stand with me and honor the word. The message this morning is honor God and he will honor you. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. What spurred this message this morning? How many know what a disciple is? Discipline one. That's what I was looking for. See, you do know. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes, let me start over again. We have the ability, bless our darling hearts and mixed up minds, to sometimes get lost in things that are comfortable, things that we like, or things that are important to us, and we lose our discipline. We forget what it's all about. We forget who we serve and we don't really consider his plan or his thoughts and our actions and our deeds. You know, I'm sure every one of us here has at some point in their life asked the question, why am I missing it in a certain area? Why am I not seeing God move in this area of my life? Or why am I not seeing the answer to this prayer? Now, the Bible says he hears and answers. And we all know that it's not based on works. But sometimes we need to consider our ways and consider the fact that are we surrendered to him or are we just kind of doing our own thing, whatever feels good. I don't feel like going to church today. I'll just stay home. Now, there are sometimes reasons why you stay home. And that's, you know, that's between you and God. Nobody's passing judgment. But the point is that in everything we do, the primary place we need to run first of all is to him and to focus on him. We say we love him and yet we do things without asking him or without finding out, Lord, if it's okay, you know. And this is not good. And then, of course, we sit back and we wonder, okay, well, God, well, why aren't things happening differently in my life? And it's because we haven't really, in some areas, still put him first. And this is real heavy on my heart. I'm dealing with some things in my life and with some people in my life that, you know, it's no question they love God, but things aren't operating the way they should operate in their life. Now, God, it's not, again, it's not by works. It's not by your righteousness, works of righteousness. According to his mercy that he saved us, amen. But the point is that God has requirements. And who is it that you value more than anything or anyone else? How many remember hearing the saying that he's not Lord of everything, he's not Lord at all? Amen. It's not based on your feelings. If you're a disciplined one, if you're a disciple of Jesus, then you're going to obey what he says. We miss the mark on success and on power and authority in our lives because we have not surrendered in some areas of our life. Proverbs 1, verses 2 through 5, actually 2 through 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 through 7. It says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now we have a very clear guideline. We have a very clear guideline in the Word. Joshua 1:8, Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. I'll remind you again, in Deuteronomy 28, you've got 68 verses, and 14 are dedicated to the blessings, and the other 54 are dedicated to the curses that will come on you for disobedience or for not following and obeying everything that comes out of the mouth of God. And this is not for punishment, but the point is, again, if you'll honor God, He will honor you. Let's go back to Proverbs 3. I'm going to start with verse 7 again. I'm going to start with verse 7 and go through 26. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Okay? He's telling us not to be wise in our own eyes. He says, not to lean on your own understanding. Depart from evil. He says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with your first fruits of all, and so your barns will be filled with plenty. Now he's giving us guidelines here. And your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, or he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man. Verse 13, look at that very carefully. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness. All her paths are the paths of peace. And all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold on her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor trouble from the wicked one, or from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Now, I know there's things in each of our lives that we're seeking God for, that we're trusting Him for, and that we want to see happen. Okay? We want to be able to touch lives. But the only way you're going to touch lives is by doing all that is written in His Word. He wants obedience, not sacrifice. Amen? Sometimes we find any old excuse to miss church or whatever. You know, and we take it lightly. And when God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And what we forget is in the process of what we're doing, people are watching our lives to see if our lives line up and if what comes out of our mouth is really, really what's going on in our life. Okay? And of course, at that point, when we're not doing exactly what God wants us to do, or we just, you know, your Bible says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and so your poverty come. If there's things not being accomplished in your family, in your friends, and in your own life, you need to consider your ways. You need to look at what the Word says. And you need to make a commitment. Amen? I mean, let's face it. Nobody here is by themselves when it comes to the fact, you know, it even starts right here. There's times when Lord, do I have to? Especially on Sunday morning after I've worked all night. That bed looks awful good. But I love him. Because I love him, and because I care about you folks, I'm here. Wednesday nights too. There's times when it can't be helped. Okay? I mean, that's just the case. But the point is, what do we use for an excuse? What if Jesus, what if the Father, and what if the Holy Spirit treated us sometimes the way we treat him? Or I've got something else that I'm interested in, you know. And then we wonder why the blessings aren't rolling, the blessings aren't flowing, and why people's lives are really not being touched by our walk with the Lord. Why they're not being provoked to jealousy. Amen? We forget that we've got little ones that are watching us that we're supposed to be setting an example for. And then a little later in life, when they start to make decisions, you know, I don't feel like going today. And then we start to get harsh with them. Remember, we're the example. Amen? It's not do as I say and not as I do. If you're going to provoke people to jealousy, if you're going to see God move and touch people's lives, then you're going to have to obey in every area, no matter what it is. If God's telling you to do something, do it. If he's telling you not to do something, don't do it. Disciplined one. Honor him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Joshua 1:8, actually 1:7-9, well-known scripture, but sometimes we take things too lightly. Amen? Let me just tell you, this is not a rebuke in by any shape, form, or fashion, by any means. It's to try to get us to start to focus and see the things that are important in our life and maybe understand why sometimes we're not seeing the power of God operate the way we've been told that it should and the way we see in the Word and the way we desire. It's called giving honor where honor is due. God loves us, and the things he's given us, he's given without repentance. Never changes his mind. All the gifts, all the promises, amen? We know that from the Word. But here's what he says in Joshua 1, verses 7 through 9. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, if you're missing success in your life, if you're missing prosperity in your life, it could be because there's some areas that you've taken lightly and you don't consider the Father. You don't honor him. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The key here is don't let the book of the law depart out of your mouth. In other words, don't ever stop speaking it. The other thing is, meditate on it day and night. And the next part is the main key. Observe to do all that's written therein. I was talking to the couple of young ladies here this morning about, you know, doing... Well, I had the thought right on my tongue. But it was basically doing what God tells us to do. And when we make those decisions, God steps on the scene and helps us with those things. That's when he becomes a co-laborer with us. He didn't just hand them to us and say, okay, now live up to this. When you make a decision out of your heart, how many know a decision's not a decision until it's a decision? It means you made up your mind. You said this is the way it's going to be, and no matter what happens, you're not shrinking back, you're not turning away, you're going to do what it tells you to do. Amen? God doesn't hold you responsible for what you don't know, he holds you responsible for what you know. And if you'll do what it says, observe to do all that the Lord says, then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Good success isn't having a job that pays $100,000 or more a year, and that kind of thing. If your family's falling apart, If your kids are going to hell in a handbasket, if people around you don't even know you're a Christian, what does it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Your Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is your treasure in earthen things? Is it in the comforts and the pleasures? Or is it in the things of God? Where we know blessings flow. Blessings come on you. Blessings overtake you. Amen? Hallelujah. Choose you this day who you will serve. Amen? And the admonishment is choose life. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Amen? We talked about that here not too long ago. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm not going to go through all of Deuteronomy, but I want us to look at least at some of what it says. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'll probably read the first 14, and then starting at verse 15, the curses on disobedience. How many know disobedience is not just not doing what God tells you, but not walking out? Well, I mean, I guess, let me back up. Disobedience can be as simple as a decision you make that you know is wrong. You satisfy your flesh, you satisfy your feelings, and that's disobedience. If he tells you to do something, you don't do it, that's disobedience. If he tells you to be in church, don't miss going to church, well, he didn't just put that in there so you'd fill a page. The reason you come is so that you can be lifted up, built up, so that you can hear the word and grow. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. When you're running into situations in your life where you need strength, how are you going to get that strength? How are you going to get that prayer if you're not in church? Now, I'm not saying we got to live here, but the point is, do we love God enough to, when the doors are open, to be here? Let me ask you this. Do you love the people who are sitting next to you, whoever that might be, or in front of you or behind you, enough to be here? Because maybe, just maybe, God wants to do something in your life to touch them. Amen. If God's called you into any kind of ministry, which he's called us all into ministry, you need to take that seriously. I need to take that seriously. You can't do it slipshod, haphazard. You got to get focused and you got to do it and do it as unto the Lord. If God rewarded us the way we treat him, Lord help us. How many know what I'm talking about? Again, this is not to beat people up. This is to admonish you that, hey, if things aren't going quite right, stop and think about where you're at and what you're doing. I remember a song that came out years ago that said, if you think you can make it by doing good works, you're just fooling yourself. If you think you can make it by going to church, you're just fooling yourself. It's not just the going and to church even. That's not what it's about. It's about obeying everything he tells you that you're supposed to do. We come here and we make the declaration on Sunday mornings. This is my Bible. It's the Word of God. I have what it says I have. I am what it says I am. And I commit. What we're saying is, Lord, I commit to you to do what you say that I'm supposed to do. And in doing that, that's when you open the windows, open the path, the opportunity for God to move in your life. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you this day, or command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Now, we all want that, right? But there's a requirement. What did it say? Now, it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you this day, then he will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Verse 2 says, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. That word blessed means happy for those of you who may not be aware. Happy shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of the ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Happy shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Listen carefully. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings on you in your storehouses and all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples on the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. How many people have people, and by afraid, I don't mean afraid of what you might do to them, but afraid of you because of who you serve and who dwells and reigns and lives in you and through you. How many know? We talked about this for just a moment this morning. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come nigh you. He says even your enemies will be at peace with you. You know, there's times when you read in the Bible where the enemies wanted to come out against the people of God and they thought better of it. And the ones who did come out against the people of God ended up suffering great consequences. Amen? Little David taking 5 stones, going out against Goliath. No armor, no weapons of any kind, just a little slingshot. 5 stones he took from a brook. And here's this big giant who's mouthing off, defying God, defying the armies of Israel. They're all standing there quaking in their boots. Your Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You don't have to fear what man will do to you. Fear the one that can take your name out of the book of life. Amen? That doesn't mean be afraid. That means give honor. Give honor. Reverence. Amen? Verse 11 says, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body and in the increase of your livestock and in the produce of your ground and the land and in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open his good treasure, open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you rain for to your land in its season, and to bless the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the ways which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. Our actions bring about consequences. Good actions, positive actions, obedient actions bring about good. I'm going to remind you once again, we all know this, but it's something we need to consider daily. Okay? Now, I don't know about y'all, but man, when I think about God, when I go to him saying, you know what? I think I'm going to take the day off. Well, honey, you know, I don't know about you. That's I don't like that. And yet, in my life, I've done that. And then I sit back and wonder, bat my eyes, if you will, if I can use this phrase, like a frog in a West Texas hailstorm, wondering, well, God, how come this isn't going? How come things aren't going the way they should go in my life? How come things aren't going the way that, you know, how come people's lives aren't being changed? How come I'm not having an effect? And when I stop and go back and examine myself, I find out it's because there's some areas that I've been slipshod. I've been haphazard about them. And right about that time, I understand, and then I got to go and repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I messed up. But at the point you repent is when he restores you right at that moment. The past is the past. Now get up and go on. There's now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Once again, if your heart condemns you, he's greater than your heart. Amen? So this is not about condemnation. This is about picking yourself up by the bootstraps, about me picking myself up by the bootstraps, and being the example that I need to be, and being the example you need to be, so that God can use us and so that people's lives will be touched. That's part of training up a child in the way that he should go, is you doing what you need to do. Amen? That's part of it. Now, God's not a legalist, and he's not going to beat you over the head. But I remind you once again, when you start feeling like God's far from you, you might want to consider who moved. You're having problems with your kids. If things aren't going right with your kids, or if there's things that seem to be reoccurring, maybe it's an illness or something like that. Your Bible says you've already got healing. But there's requirements for you to stand up and do in that healing so that your devil doesn't steal it back from you. Amen? See, remember, nothing you God given you can be stolen from you, but you have the ability to give it back or to not take it in your hand by your actions. I'm going to know what I'm talking about. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then starting in verse 15, it talks about all the curses. And it goes on for 54 verses. You think God's trying to get our attention? We stand back and we question God, why don't I have the victory in this area? Or why do I struggle and not get free in areas of my life? Haggai 1, chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, or actually 5 and verse 7. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, and you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Are you doing all that God requires of you? If he's first and at the forefront of your life, then you're walking in the blessings. They can't help but come on you and overtake you as you obey. Now let me also say here and temper this with just this thought. God doesn't expect you to all of a sudden just walk in everything overnight. If you're new, a new Christian, you do what he tells you step by step and be faithful in that. Don't worry about all the rest. Don't worry about what you're not walking in. Worry about what he's told you. In fact, don't worry about it. Consider that and walk in it. That's a better way to put it. Amen? God will bring about the rest in your life. He will bring about the rest of the things that need to come. But it's a lifetime process. Okay? Don't get yourself frustrated by thinking, Lord, I want to do this in the worst way. I want to walk in this, but I just, you know, don't worry about it. Again, once again, God holds you accountable for what you know, not for what you don't know. And he changes you step by step, day by day. The seed is planted. The Word of God plants seed in your life, and that seed, listen carefully, brings forth fruit in its season, not in yours and not in mine. In some of us, the Word will go in and it'll germinate and bring forth fruit immediately. In others of us, it takes time. It takes a little more watering of the Word. It takes a little more fertilizer of the Word. It takes a little more hearing of the Word and operating in things. And all of a sudden, one day, you all begin to see that sprout come up through that ground. And it'll begin to bring forth fruit. You'll see the bud. Remember what the Bible says. See if I can remember to say this right. It's first the corn. Or help me out, Bob. It's first the ear, and then the whole corn in the ear. Anyway, there's a scripture about that. Y'all have to look it up. But anyway, it's a process. It's a growing process. Like I say, some things will sprout up right away. Some things won't. But be faithful in what he's given you. Be faithful in what he's taught you, what he's told you he requires of you. And the other key is don't be worrying about what everybody else is doing. You take care of you, and God will take care of the rest. That's a guarantee from the Word. That's a guarantee. He'll take care of the rest. Hallelujah. The question also comes, is what he wants the first thing you consider, or is it what you want, or what makes you happy? We all know what Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25 says. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That death does not necessarily mean an instant, immediate, physical death. How many know the worst death is separation from God? I don't even want to go there. I don't want to consider that. I want to be obedient. Amen? And then in 16:25, it basically says exactly the same thing. Do you ever stop to consider that the reason God repeats things sometimes is because he wants you to get it? There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end are the ways of death. I've made the decision in my life. Now, I'm not saying that once in a while you may not get, you know, an attack of the enemy that'll take you down and you can't be here, okay? But one of the things you need to do when you consider your ways is, did I do something that brought this on, or did I omit something that brought this on? And I know sometimes, you know, we take a break, we take a vacation. I'm not talking about those kind of things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when God gives us a command and tells us there's something he wants us to do, there should be nothing else in our mind or in our thoughts or that we're focusing on other than what he told us to do. Exodus 20, verse 7 says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. You know what the biggest God we serve sometimes? Right here. what pleases us, what makes us feel good. Amen? Hey, He's given us the kingdom down here. He's given us exceeding great and precious promises. Amen? Hallelujah. And if I didn't need this word, I wouldn't be speaking it as much as anybody else here. God's called us in this house to some great things. We're seeing some of the fruit of our labor. You know, one of the ways you can cause a brother to stumble is not by flat out disobedience, but by just a little sleep, a little slumber, not taking it serious. And all of a sudden, not only you have slipped a little bit, but somebody who's watching you has slipped. One of the things everybody in this room knows, without question, is you never know who's watching you. You never know whose life you're going to affect by the words you say and by your actions. How many have heard the old saying, your actions speak so loud I can't hear what you're saying? I'm reminded that when I love somebody, I want to be with them. I don't like it when I'm not with them. Amen? If I love somebody, I want to be with them. And I'm not happy when I'm not with them. I feel like part of me is missing. Amen? I can't live one day without the presence of God. How about you? Not only that, the Bible says in His presence is fullness of joy. If you've been seeking for an answer and can't get it, maybe it's because you haven't been totally obedient to something God's told you to do. I don't mean to be simplistic, but it could be as simple as not being where you belong on Sundays and Wednesdays. Now, I understand jobs sometimes, especially from some of us who are just coming out of hardships and things, you know, maybe without a job and some certain circumstances in our life, there's some grace there. First of all, I'm not the judge. The Bible says if you judge yourself, you won't need that anybody else judge you. And that's not my job and that's not your job to judge somebody else. Your job is to take the speck or the tree out of your eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly to take this tree out of, or the speck out of somebody else's eye. And you know what? That's a lifetime job. In all the years I've been walking with God, I have never gotten that tree out of my eye enough to where I can see clearly. I'm still working on it. But I can tell you one thing. I've seen it, I've experienced it, and I've walked it out. If I will do what God tells me to do, that's one of the ways you lift up God and cause men to be drawn to Him, is obedience to what He tells you to do. You heap hot coals of fire on their head. You set the example. You lead by example. That'd be a good message for politicians to get today, huh? Yes. Praise the Lord. God has good thoughts. We know that from Jeremiah 29:11 for us. He has good plans for us. He has thoughts to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. One little statement in the Bible. How many times God comes and He wants to gather us, but we would not. Amen? His blessings don't just come because we're so great. It comes because of His love and because of obedience. Now, He doesn't change His mind. But we have the ability to stop up the faucet or the dam, or if you will, close the window to the blessings. I don't want to do that. How about you? I want all that God has for me. Do you hear me? And I'm reminded, to whom much is given, much is required. When God picks up the pieces of a broken heart, a broken life. I mean, that shakes me to my very foundation to think, here God's done something tremendous. You've experienced His supernatural, inevitable supernatural intervention. And then all of a sudden, you stop it because you get just a moment of selfishness. Or kind of get for a moment that attitude of the world, I did it my way. We forget too easily. It's not about us, it's about Him. And when it's about Him, then it's about others too. Amen? In closing, as Gene plays that song, honor God and He'll honor you. I can tell you that some of you are right at the doorstep of a breakthrough. But you need to make the commitment. You're going to do what He says. You're going to observe to do all that He says. Some of you are right at the door of walking in the greatest blessings you've ever experienced in your life. You hear me? It's up to you. It's up to you. I want all that God has. Amen? Not just so that I can satisfy myself, but so that I can see others walk in the blessing of God, walk in the anointing of God, seeing their needs met, seeing their love relationship with the Lord. Amen? You know that I get encouraged by you guys, too, just like, you know, I do, by watching you, the things you do. I also get discouraged sometimes when I see not only the things that I do, but the things we omit. Amen? You know why? You know why God gets a little disgruntled? He doesn't change His mind about you. But it hurts Him when He's got so much good for you and your actions close the door, handcuff Him. Now, my mama used to say it's a dumb dog that bites itself. Stop chasing your tail. Let's all stop chasing our tails. Let's surrender. Let's give in. Whatever God's telling you today, don't try to walk in at all. Don't try to think that He's telling you to do everything today. Just what He's telling you right now. I know the minute I started this, God began to talk to some of you about things in your life, areas where you know you haven't surrendered that you know you should have, or things that you're still hanging on to. Seems like every once in a while God wants to bring this subject back up. One of the things you need to remember is God holds you accountable. Holds you accountable for the things that you do that cause others to stumble. And He's very clear when He says, you know, don't mess with my little ones. We're here to be a light, right? Yeah. Well, that light, you know, here's a picture that I get. Here we are holding our light, and we're gung-ho on Sunday, we're gung-ho on Wednesday, and maybe certain days through the week, and all of a sudden something comes up, and all of a sudden, just for the moment, we want to, thinking nobody's watching. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof, the ways of death, separation. Separation meaning God backs off. He hasn't left. He's not forsaking you, but He's waiting for you to come back into right relationship. Say, I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. Amen? He loves us. And He has good things for us. But there are requirements, folks. If you get a good job, you don't keep that job if you don't fulfill the requirements of that job, right? How many know there are certain things in life that are laws? Laws of God. I'm not talking about the law of the oppression.
I'm talking about the laws of God that open the windows of heaven, that bring the blessings and the anointing and the good outcome in your life. Those are the laws I'm talking about. Giving to the poor and then watching the blessings come back on you. Those are laws. Giving a cup of cold water. I remember a song. Man, I can still hear that song being belted out by this individual. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. Be faithful in what you have. Be faithful in the little things. They may open the door to big things. Unfaithfulness may close the door to big things that are just about to happen in your life. And even when those things come, remember, it's not about you. It's not so you can consume it in your pleasure or your lust. It's so that you can bless the kingdom. I'm learning, folks. That whatever God's given me, it's not for me. It's for His kingdom. It does not belong to me. I'm only the middleman. Amen? I haven't arrived, but I'm learning. How about you? Hallelujah. Remember the story of the good steward. Amen? Praise the Lord. I am excited today, believe it or not. I am excited. If God didn't love us, and if He didn't care, and if He wasn't concerned about the fact that He's got things for us and He wants to see those come to pass, He wouldn't put me on this path today to share with you all. So don't let the enemy come in and see, I told you, you're never going to get it right. Well, you devil, you tie it outside.
No, that's right.
Get thee behind me, Satan. The more we obey, the more we grow. And the more we obey, the more we go. Did you hear me? Amen. Praise the Lord. So the key today, you don't have to come up here to do that. It's just where you are saying, Father, I'm sorry. Did you know there's such a thing as the sin of omission? Did you know that? The sin of omission. Omitting the things that you know to do for whatever reason. Let's don't do that anymore. When God speaks to us and deals with our heart, don't suppress it. Don't water it down. Let's do like the song says, I surrender all. All to Thee, my precious Savior, I surrender all. Amen? And you know what? You might just find out what real joy is. I'm reminded of a song. Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Real joy is mine, no matter when teardrops start, 'cause I found the secret, it's Jesus in my heart. Happiness is to be forgiven, living a life that's worth the living, taking a trip that leads to heaven. Happiness is the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Happy is the man whose God is the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I'm making a new commitment today. How about you? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I know that in my life, when I see people, especially
in my own house who don't obey things, the first thing I want to do is go and shake a finger and say, you better change your ways. I'm not the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's the darndest thing. I can't explain this to you. I just know it worked because I walked it out. If I'll do what God tells me to do and be faithful in that, you know what? Everything else just seems to fall in place. Amen. When you be an example, people see that example, and that's what provokes the jealousy in their life. That's what heaps the hot coals on their head. And you know what? When it's all said and done and we stand before Him, we all know in our heart of hearts we're not going to be able to give any excuses, right? Wouldn't it be easier just to surrender? Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Does anybody need prayer here this morning? Yes, sir. Well, you don't have to speak it out. God knows. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, You're omnipotent. You're omniscient. You see all. You know all. Your Word says, Lord, that You knew us before the foundation of the world, that You have every hair on our head numbered. So, Lord, right now, these people who have raised their hands, Lord, You know what the need is. So I thank You, Lord, that Your mercy is in operation. Your mercy that assumes the need that they've raised their hand about. And so Your mercy operates in their behalf. And because You give mercy, Lord, You get mercy out of Your resources, which are more than adequate to meet the need of these people who've raised their hands. I send the Word right now and say, be whole, be healed, be prosperous, be secure. More than all that, walk with God, obey Him, and watch your life change. And watch the circumstances that you raised your hands about change and victory come. And then give Him praise and honor and glory. Amen? Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. We consider it done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank You for Your presence, Lord. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your encouragement. Thank You for Your love. The world has no tolerance for messing up. Thank God You're not the world. And thank God You don't hold things against us. Today, Lord, we say with all of our hearts, Lord, we surrender. We want to walk in Your will. We want to obey You, Lord, in every area. Whatever You speak to us, Lord. Not what other people say to us, Lord, but what You tell us. Holy Spirit, You're the one who leads into truth. You're the guide, the teacher. You're the one who reveals and revelates in people's lives. You're the one who speaks, turn to the right, turn to the left, or speaks, this is the way, walk in it. Father, we repent for the past. We thank You for the future, starting right now, starting this moment, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that those that You have set free, that doesn't just mean back then, but even today, that those that You set free are free indeed. We're free. We proclaim that, Lord. We thank You. We lift our hands and praise You and say, thank You, Lord, for freedom. Freedom, Lord. To be all that You have designed us to be for You, Lord, and for Your kingdom. And to be able to have the ability, Lord, through You, to do all that You've designed and given us the ability to do through You. Now, Lord, we thank You for mercy and grace on every heart and life here today. And for those outside, thank You for giving us the light and allowing us to carry that light to a dark world. Now, Lord, seal Your Word in our hearts. We thank You for it. And, Lord, I ask You that Your blessings, Your presence, would not only overshadow but overtake and be evident in every life that's here today. Once again, we're not going to be the same as when we walked in here today. We're going to be different. And we're going to see a difference. Not just hope for it. We can't think so. We can't hope so. We've got to know by Your Word
We've got to do it by faith, Lord, and walk in faith. We thank you for the measure of faith, Lord, that it's operating and growing in our lives as we obey you, Lord. Hallelujah. Be with your people. Redeem the time. I thank you, Lord. I see your blessings flowing out on every one of your people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now, Lord, as we dismiss, we sanctify the food and the fellowship. We receive it with thanksgiving, Lord, and we do it by your word and this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Be dismissed.